Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
Fourth and goal for the Bears. At the 4, under center, Fields. 35 seconds left. Fake the pitch. Fields looks, floats it, end zone, bobble! He snags it, but he didn't get in. Mooney is short of the goal line. Washington has come up with a defensive stand.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ian Eagle on Westwood One. And yes, in fact, Washington did that more than once. The Bears had 3 trips inside the 5-yard line and no points. And coming up here momentarily, we're going to head to Chicago and welcome a Commanders insider who is there at the game. So we'll get the lay of the land. Yes, it's a win and it ends a 4-game losing skid. But at the same time, there is so much swirling around the Commanders right now. So we'll talk to Ben Standing of The Athletic and our Washington, D.C. affiliate, 106.7 The Fan, whenever he's ready. Producer Carlos, can you tell me when? Is he ready now? Okay, got it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need to cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Ben, thanks so much for a couple of minutes, especially since it's been a long evening for you. How would you describe the game that the Commanders just survived and won?
Well, yeah, I appreciate the time and thanks for your patience. How would I describe it? I mean, this day has felt like a week. This week has felt like a month, and this game sort of just fits in perfectly with all that. It was ugly, chaotic, bizarre, and for a rare time for this team, they came out with a win, either on or off the field. So, truly bizarre. I mean, the fact that, like you said, that they held the Bears to 0 points despite being inside, the 10 or the red zone on 3 occasions is fairly wild. I still don't even understand how Darnell Mooney didn't somehow get the ball over the goal line.
Right.
He was landing right on it but didn't do it. And they win a game with Carson Wentz throwing for 99 yards. I really don't quite know how they did it, but I think they're probably lucky they were playing the Bears tonight. No offense to them, but not exactly a juggernaut these days. So it almost feels like a perfect way to cap off an insane week for this team.
Yeah, we'll talk about everything swirling around them even before they got onto the field. But looking at this game and knowing what you know about their first 6 weeks, what are the biggest issues for the Commanders right now, Ben?
Well, I mean, I think on offense, the offensive line has been kind of in shambles for most of this year. That they're already down 3 starters from week 1. And as we saw tonight at times, they were giving up this easy pass rush pressure. And Carson Wentz, among his concerns, is that he's got kind of a jittery presence in the pocket. And that really is stifling a lot of their offensive production. They were able tonight, as we saw, get Brian Robinson in his most extensive work since he returned to football. And I think that's going to help them a lot. But right now, they just are really struggling to sustain drives. You know, I mean, look, they scored, 12 points, right? I mean, that's hardly going to be good enough against teams, you know, better teams that they have coming up like Green Bay next week. So I think that's the biggest thing. The defense has actually played pretty well the last 3 to 4 games at this point. So there's some positive signs there, but the offense, they really got to figure out a way to start generating some points.
Just as a side note, 12 points is all the Colts managed last week in winning in overtime. So that's back-to-back Thursday night football games where the winner has only managed 12 points. So, a little bit nutso with the product that we've seen to start off these weeks of football. Ben Stanig is with The Athletic, covering the Commanders, also with our D.C. affiliate 106.7 The Fan, and still in Chicago following Thursday night football. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Brian Robinson, maybe the bright spot, the highlight, certainly a story that goes far beyond football. What have you seen and heard from his teammates as he's come back from not even 7 weeks ago being shot twice in the leg?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still kind of insane scenario, and I think everybody's pretty inspired. I mean, watching this, you know, it's funny, he's pretty nonchalant about the whole thing. I mean, we've only had a chance to really talk to him, you know, on the record, you know, as reporters over the last week. But, you know, we've been in the locker room for several weeks now since he returned, and you wouldn't have any idea that this guy just went through this. I mean, he's pretty,
wow,
you know, casual about it. And his teammates, you know, recognize, you know, how incredibly lucky he is, and I think he does as well, clearly. But, I think they take a lot of inspiration from that. And, you know, in terms of just the football side of it, he really looked sharp during training camp and in the preseason. You know, he's been their starting running back in his first two games in the NFL, both coming after, as you said, he was shot twice. I mean, that's pretty insane, but it also says a lot about what he showed this team during the summer. And that, you know, I think we saw some of that translate tonight.
Mm. Ron Rivera admittedly had a really bad day on Monday and has taken ownership of his comment, in which he essentially said that quarterback is the reason why the Commanders are a losing team and aren't sitting right there with the other teams in the NFC East and competing. Now, he did try to explain it. I know he apologized and he obviously spoke to the team, but what do you make of that moment? Is just it not generally what you hear from Ron Rivera?
Yeah, he's been known to have a gap or two, for sure. That's what this was. I think all of us in the room kind of knew what he meant, but he, you know, you can't say why are you guys trailing the other teams in your division and give a one word answer of quarterback without explaining it. Matt Parrish from the Washington Times did a good job of following up on that, and then it just kind of kept pecking away. The thing about it is, those of us on the beat know he has been very defensive of anybody criticizing Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Team president a few weeks ago came here and kind of savaged somebody who was criticizing Carson Wentz. They've really gone out of their way to defend this guy. And I know Carson Wentz is an easy punching bag. He's not been fantastic this year, but he's not been terrible. He's definitely not the sole reason that they've been bad. So I get why the outside world just assumed that's where Rivera was going. Regardless, he clearly, you know, created a distraction for no reason other than just had a mental lapse or something there for a minute. I don't know what he was doing.
What did he mean? I mean, you said that for those of you who are around him a lot and you hear him a lot, you kind of understand what he was trying to say. So what was he trying to say?
Well, that's what's funny. What he was trying to say, to be honest, doesn't really make a lot of sense. But what he was trying to say is that in the time that he has been there, so he arrived in 2020, they have not been able to build around a quarterback, which is true because
yes,
they've gone through several different quarterbacks. Wentz is their best one they've had so far in terms of at least just pure talent. But the part that doesn't make any sense is he's then pointing to the other teams in the division that they've had this opportunity, which is not really true. I mean, Dallas, yes, has had Dak Prescott, but he also hasn't been playing this year, as we
right
know, for the last several weeks. And Cooper Rush, a nondescript backup, is, you know, winning all the games. The Giants, nobody is that excited about Daniel Jones, but also he is with a first-year coach this year learning a new system.
Yes.
So that's the same level as Carson Wentz. And even with Philadelphia, I mean, look, Jalen Hurts has been having a very good year, but there were a lot of questions about him coming in so into the season. So it was a weird point. I just think Rivera's been frustrated that they haven't been able to get this most important of positions. And, you know, there probably is some frustration that Carson Wentz hasn't completely, you know, solved all their problems. But Yeah, I don't know what he was trying to say exactly. I mean, that's what he was trying to say, but his point still doesn't quite make sense.
Mm. What do you make of the report then that came out on Thursday that obviously set Rivera off post-game, that it wasn't him, but it was Dan Snyder who pressed for Carson Wentz? Because I swear, I felt like this whole thing would have essentially died after the game. You know, we move on so quickly in the NFL. There's so much happening in the news cycle. But man, that just added fuel to a fire, to embers that maybe were about to go out, but weren't quite there yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen someone passionately stake a claim that they wanted a player who most people who pay attention to the league would think you wouldn't want to stake a claim to saying you wanted this guy. I believe that Ron Rivera did, in fact, what was behind this move. Again, it's easy. You hear Dan Snyder supposedly wants this guy. Dan Snyder's been a meddling owner for the majority of his career, and most of the time when he's meddled, it's been a mess.
Yes.
And he's done that as recently as the 2019 draft when he wanted them to take Dwayne Haskins when the rest of the organization didn't. But in this case, I really do think Rivera was the one who wanted it. And, why he was so angry about it, I don't know exactly. I think it was a combination of being, fired up because they just won. And, he's probably just had enough of all this. But, the spoiler for him, there's going to be more coming. There's always more coming. It never ends. Mm. And that's what he and everybody else has to deal with.
Maybe a little embarrassed too, a little defensive, because it is bringing back up what happened earlier in the week and the fact that he put himself into the middle of it by what he said on Monday. Ben Standing is with us from Chicago after the Commanders win, and yet it's not a lot of mirth around them, not a lot of excitement around it right now. He covers the team for The Athletic, and also you can hear him on 106.7 The Fan, our CBS Sports Radio affiliate in D.C. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dan Snyder chants, sell the team. They were behind Brian Robinson on the Thursday Night Football postgame on Amazon Prime, so he's talking about getting shot and coming back, and in the background you can hear the fans sell the team. Obviously Al Michaels addressed it as well on Prime. We played that here last hour. How loud are the calls there for someone who lives in the market, covers the team extensively? How loud is that noise getting, Ben?
Oh, well, on the one hand, it's deafening, and on the other hand, it's quiet, meaning so many people have checked out that they just don't even care anymore. But, yeah, I mean, people have been calling for this forever. I mean, what's happened over the last couple of years as there's been these investigations into the organization has certainly brought a new focus on this. But, from a purely football perspective, it's been a mess, for basically his entire time. And, look, I grew up in the area. I was a fan of the team growing up, and it is insane to think where they've fallen. And it just doesn't seem like it's going to remotely get any better anytime soon. And I think a lot of this, what was in this report today, is an interesting report. Absolutely, there was some really interesting details. For those of us on the beat, a lot of it was kind of a rehash with things we've already kind of known. But regardless, this is where we're at. It just never ends. And, it's something we all have to deal with, and everybody else can just sort of laugh at us, which I get it.
How much do you believe that his role with the team, even though he's been suspended and not supposed to be part of day-to-day operations, but his role and the way he's run the team has to do with the fact that they haven't been able to find any type of success in recent years?
Yeah, I mean it's a kind of a vicious cycle we have here, because in terms of the football side of things, the more this goes on, like he's had some interesting coaches that he's brought in over the last during his tenure, Ron Rivera among them, but there's always a ceiling that's sort of capped because of Dan Snyder's presence. I mean, even in the case of say Ron Rivera. Right. I mean, he has had some success at Carolina. He's also had the losing seasons in 8 of his 11 years, but he's never had front office responsibilities before. And in order to get a guy like Rivera, Snyder had to give him those responsibilities. And part of the issue with Washington is looking at their personnel. And it's really not, it's not as deep as they probably wish it was from where they started a few years ago. So it just all kind of just keeps going and going. And the other weird part of all this is Snyder doesn't make himself available ever. I've covered the team full time since 2015 and several years sort of in a freelance way before that. I have never spoken to him.
Wow.
I've only been in the same room with him. I can count on the number of times on one hand. He's just not around. And, it just makes it, I don't know if that matters to the players. They probably see him, but, just in terms of the everything else, it's just another sign of this weird sort of dysfunction. And, it's one of the things I would cry if I didn't want to, just wanted to, immerse myself in the thought of just how insane this is. I'm sort of kidding about me, but I know so many of my friends and family who are just beyond annoyed, angry, or at this point, maybe even just apathetic over the whole situation.
Before I let you go, Ben, I just want to preface this question by saying I'm a huge Ron Rivera fan, and I don't believe that it's ever as simple as being a coach's fault. And as you mentioned, he does have some administrative responsibilities and certainly some say over the roster. Is his job in jeopardy?
I don't think so. They won this game. However, it was one they did win. And one thing about Rivera's teams, like his first 2 years here, the first year they started 1-5, ended up finishing 7-9, which happened to be good enough that year to win a terrible NFC East. Last year they were 2-6, then ripped off 4 in a row to actually be in the position to be a wild card team, only for injuries and a COVID outbreak to kind of take them down. So I think in their mind, they're still in this, but here's the problem. Just getting back to 500, even, let's just say that's possible. I know it's a 17 game, so there's no 500, but just in terms of just getting back to that middle, that's not enough. Like, when are they moving to the next level? And I think that's where, regardless of what happens the rest of this way, I could see at the end of the year there being a discussion about his future, but I don't think it's anything that's imminent now or even during the season.
Okay, because that's all they need is a little more drama, a little more controversy around the team.
Right.
Although it seems like, Ben, you operate at this level. I mean, what would you do if they were actually a winning team and there was no drama? Would you even know how to write or how to cover the team?
No, I don't. I have so many of my colleagues at The Athletic, they'll hit me up on our Slack thread, and they'll say, I can't even understand how you deal with this. But on the other hand, it's never boring. I know there are some teams where, there's not much happening, and that's a whole other situation. Fortunately, I don't really have much of a life, so I can just stay on top of this thing at all times, and you have no choice but to do just that.
Right, exactly. It's all-consuming. You can find Ben on Twitter at Ben Standig, STANDIG. Covers the Commanders and the NFL for The Athletic. Also with our affiliates in D.C., Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan. And I love the name of his podcast, Standig Room Only. That's fantastic, Ben. You are welcome back anytime. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes after Thursday Night Football.
Hey, Amy, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Good stuff with Ben. Seriously, that's the name of his podcast, Standig Room Only. And it took me a couple times saying it out loud. I mean, I get it by seeing it, but that's cool. Very clever.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start, sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection, featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's INDOCHINO.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.